Jews killed back in the 1300s, 1200s, somewhere. And they were all gathered into a, that's where you get the word ghetto from.
Right.
The word ghetto comes from them, ghetto means a gathering of undesirable people or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they would round up all the Jews, put them in a ghetto, and then they would either turn the women to prostitution, the men, they would turn them into thieves, and it was pretty horrible what they did to the Jews. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. Romans 12. We'll talk about that this afternoon. I beseech ye, brethren, ye therefore, brethren. Oh, well, how'd you bring your daughter, your sister with you? I mean, you bring your mama with you?
I brought my lovely mama.
Okay, all right. You brought your mama's least favorite daughter.
The middle child.
So, yep.
She and
Tim. That's right, her and Tim. Middle child.
Y'all have it, bro.
Oh, boy. Good to have y'all with us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, this is Paul in Romans. We're in verse, in chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Let me get rid of that. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that means rational. So reasonable service. Right? And be not conformed to this world, because that's what we were. When we were born here, we were conformed to the world. Kind of like we were talking about Bible study last night. You know, you... God give you a nature. He give you a memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. That's why He give that to you, because Satan can't give it to you. Right. But Satan comes in and perverts all that. And then that nature attaches to your soul, and if it stays that way, and you make a wrong, make a decision after the age of accountability, then that soul is downward pull, on its way to hell, black, whatever you want to call it. Because the spirit realm of man, it's where Satan works and where God works. Both. Okay. Even you be born again and you have bad thoughts and do bad things. Okay. That's why I thank God for a prophet that said you can be born again and you know, be suicidal or things like that, go out of your mind. He saw that. I know he did. Remember, he saw that one woman that was in the insane asylum, but because of something that she had done back in her previous life. And once all that came out, she became all right. Then you got Rosella, the one that was a prostitute and a drunk. You know, now she was somebody testifying to the glory of God. But don't think for one minute Rosella didn't every day Satan remind her of what she did.
Right.
So that was in her memory. That's what we were talking about. The whole point is that there's no way that your spirit realm can be totally born again like your soul, right, while you're still alive here. You always got, Brother Brown said, it'd be sticky till the end. All right, so it's going to be sticky, but now something's going to change that. You know, the soul's going to work its way out and change that, but there's really, you can't do anything about the, even Jesus, Almighty God Himself, He had the Holy Ghost in His spirit, and He was still tempted. Brother Brown said, tempted by women. Yeah. Satan even come and tempted. Didn't bother Satan to walk up to Almighty God and say, hey, you who you say you are, do this, do this, do this. So don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, because you will prove who you are. We're continually doing that. So what is the perfect will of God? His will is His word. His will is His word. Always that, when I look at that Bible, I see that as just like you going and have a big family and we all go to a to an estate attorney, and that attorney sits down and he opens up the will. And what does that will do? That will tells you what you got. Because somebody had to die. The testator had to die. So, you know, without Jesus Christ dying, the Bible's worthless anyway.
That's right.
Then you would be just a good prophet that just walked among men and did. But since He died, He brought the Old Testament to life and the New Testament to life. That's why Jesus Christ, the will of God, And you say, well, who's the executor of the will? The Holy Ghost, what does the executor do? The executor makes sure that the will is carried out. So when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get the executor of the will inside of you, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the one that says, that tells you what the will says.
Right.
Right? And then you do, then it performs that. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, you know, don't put yourself above.
That's right.
But think soberly. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at that word right there, because that word does not mean not a drunk. Right? Alright, it means, let's see, let's go down here. Get a hold of it. Into, unto, to, towards, or among. So in other words, think sanely. Think according to the will of God. Right? Because remember, a drunk person, if you do use that allegory, a drunk person doesn't think right. There's a lot of things that they wouldn't do if they were in their sober mind. So think same way with the world. And truly, the world's a bunch of drunks. Now, I'm not talking about liquid drunks.
Yeah.
They're drunk on everything else.
Right.
Right? They're not sober. You and I are the only sober people in the whole world that we have come to a place that God has given us something internally because the world thinks it's externally.
Yeah. Right.
You see these women on TV shows and stuff that were 40 years ago and they think they're still that 40-year-old girl, you know, and oh, they look horrible. Oh. So, well, that's what they're doing. They're living in a what? Brother Brown said living in a rearview mirror.
That's right.
And you and I should never live in a rearview mirror. Because what happens when you look in the rearview mirror and you're driving? You have a wreck. You have a wreck. So we don't want to have a wreck. We want to think soberly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure. You see that says measure. Every person has a measure of faith. That's why we've been talking about laying on of hands or just speaking the word. There's a measure of faith. Some are weak in faith. Some are strong in faith. Some are right in the middle. But not everybody has the same measure because God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Right.
For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. In other words, everybody's not the finger. Or your body would just look like a finger. No, you got all your different parts. But not the same office or the same function. See, that word means function. So you got this. They don't have the same function. If your whole body was a heart, you know, it couldn't function.
That's right.
You need all the other organs for everything to function together.
That's
true. So we being many, the body of Christ being many, are one body in Christ. You go back to the scripture that says, not seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ. Because when we get into that future home, and it's nothing but the bride, excuse me, and the 144,000 in that new city, that is one body. Now, exclude the 144,000. They're not part of the body. They're servants to the body. But that one body of ever how many millions of born-again people that live in that city, they're one body. All right. Now, many members,
yes, right.
But one body.
Amen.
Same way now. I mean, you don't have to wait till the millennium. I mean, the future home. But I'm saying now we're scattered among the heathen.
Yes.
You know, so, but then, man, it's going to be all brought into one place. And it's going to be a wonderful time. So being many are one body in Christ and everyone members of another. Can't do it without. We got to have each other.
That's true.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now I want to talk about that in just a minute. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Because not everybody has prophecy, gift of prophecy. Everybody has, look, gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Now, Brother Brown said that we could, you know, he called it laying under the water spout long enough you can speak in tongues. In other words, you can force yourself into it. But there are some people that can speak in tongues that have the gift of speaking in tongues. They don't have to work themselves into the gift. But not everybody. You got nine. You got wisdom. You got faith. You got this. You got that. You got the nine spiritual gifts. That's nine of them that work in the body. And like we always said, we major on a minor. The bottom two is tongues and prophecy.
Yeah.
Or tongues and interpretations. That's the bottom. Brother Bram said, that's the least of all those. What about the other seven? Okay, the other seven gifts. Let's work down through the other seven gifts. And once we work down through the other seven gifts, you get down to tongues and interpretation. Because Satan can interpret a lot of those gifts. Okay? There's one thing he can't interpret, though, and that's the will of God. He cannot interpret that word.
Right.
Now, he can misinterpret it.
Yes.
But he can't interpret it word for word and make it come out right. He's always got to make it come out wrong somewhere.
Right.
All right? So having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. You've heard Brother Dale, many of us, you know, you see these people that come out gung-ho and they come right out of the world. Well, even Brother Brown says, come out of the bar room on Saturday night and preach on Sunday morning. That might work one in a 10 million, but a ministry has to develop. Now, you're born with the gift, but that gift has to develop because you can use it wrong. We see a lot of people using things wrong, you know, because you have to be careful with money, women, and popularity. Now, you watch all three of them. Somewhere, a ministry is going to have a problem with one of those three, and if you're not solid behind and stay behind the Word of God, one of them will get you. Okay? Even being a born-again Christian, one of them will hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it'll happen. It'll happen. Money, women, and popularity. Because it says here, you know, don't be popular. Because you come up here to the top, it says we're not. I always make this statement about, you know, patting yourself on the back. That's okay, but I was somewhere the other day and a preacher friend of mine told me that another preacher he saw does that from the pulpit. He pats his own back from the pulpit. Now that, see, is using it a little bit. Because I use it as, if ain't nobody going to pat you in the back, you might as well pat yourself on the back. Now I'm talking about, you know, doing stuff out here. I ain't talking about standing in the pulpit. Right. Don't, you know, that's...
Nobody
amen,
so he ate
in himself. Yes. Yeah, I've heard that before too. So be careful, because you got money, women, and popularity. Popularity is one that really hurts you. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. So, wait. Let God develop the gift. Because you can have a gift of prophecy and be wrong. You can prophesy wrong. Balaam was wrong, but he was a prophet. He could prophesy. Right?
Right.
Where Brother Branham said the guy was that he met was speaking in tongues and the other one was interpreting, one speaking in tongues. He deserved to be a Christian, the other one interpreted, was living with another woman.
Yeah.
All right, so that's why that all those nine spiritual gifts, those two at the bottom are the ones that everybody loves. You know, they write, the way I say it is, they write the nine spiritual gifts, they write seven of them so little you can't see them. Then them last two, with the tones and interpretation, they write in great big font. In other words, the tones and interpretation. Well, that's the two of the least gifts, and that's the one that can get you into most trouble. We saw it in Brother Brown's ministry. It got, you know, remember that woman that was going to get up and speak in tongues and all that? She was getting ready, and she, well now, that's kind of like patting yourself on the back, you know. But Brother Brown discerned that spirit and called it out. Well, then now what happened when he got finished with the sermon? All those spiritual people that believed in the two last gifts more than any of the other,
right,
come up and said, Brother Brown, you quenched the spirit or whatever. He said, you know what? He wasn't apologetic about it.
Right.
He said, that woman was out of line. That woman was out of order. So, you know what gift he was using? One of them other seven. Wisdom, faith, knowledge, and all that up here at the top, instead of using them two at the bottom. I've seen tongues come in interpretation. I've seen people speak in tongues with no interpretation. But a lot of times, Brother Brown said, you speak in tongues, you do it for yourself. You know, you're speaking to the Lord for yourself. I'd rather have somebody with the gift of wisdom and with the gift of faith and all those others. We may go through those spiritual gifts sometimes. I'd rather have that than have all the others. Okay?
Wait. One of them is discerning of spirits.
Discerning of spirits. See if that guy down here that was interpreting, if he'd have, even if the guy speaking in tongues, them people in that congregation thought that guy was a, you know. So they didn't have that gift of discerning of spirits. If they had had that gift that Brother Branham had, you say, well, they had it because he's a prophet. That don't always happen. You know, God can tell you a lot of things and you not being a prophet. But if they had used that gift instead of the other ones, they could have told that guy, said, hey, you need to get your life straight before you start doing all this. Okay. So I believe in gifts. I believe all nine, but they should all nine operate according to the Word of God. They should operate according to... And you know what? I believe they do. I believe they do. Well, discerning of spirit. What's the other? Wisdom? Read them off. You got them?
Yeah.
Read them. In order.
Word of wisdom.
Yep.
The word of knowledge.
Yep.
Faith.
Uh-huh.
Gifts of healing.
Uh-huh.
Working of miracles.
Uh-huh.
Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Discerning of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
The diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues.
That's the last two. But you got all those others that we don't use. We just skip right on down to the bottom two, you know. But, you know, that's just the way we are. Well, that's the way we've been taught. Like Brother Brown said, that's the way y'all been taught. Y'all been taught to just jump up and start speaking in tongues. And he said, but if you'll do it in order according to the Bible, what? He was a prophet. He was Elijah. He was restoring the order of the church. He said, if you'll do it this way, it'll work properly. Mm-hmm. And I believe it did when Brother Brown was there, because, you know, you had Brother Neville. Brother Neville was not only a minister, he had a gift of a prophecy, mm-hmm. or prophesying. But you don't hear him, when Brother Brown's preaching, you don't hear him stand up and start giving a prophecy. You never hear him stand up and give a prophecy. Why? Because I believe he had it in order. And he had Brother Brown there to teach him, you know. Because that's what he said. He said, we start teaching these babies, and then you'll come to a place. And he even told the Brown Tabernacle, y'all stand up and speak in tongues. You hear him preaching. Now, a lot of times he didn't pay attention to it.
Right.
Sometimes now at the very end of a service... And being a prophet, you watch on those tapes, he pauses just for a few seconds. Then you hear them. He sees that thing fall. He sees that light or that spirit come down, fall on that person. Because he said, let's just wait a second. Or let's just wait a minute. He'll pause. But him up preaching, you can hear some sister jump up. He never even acknowledges that they're speaking in tongues. Why? They're out of order.
That's right.
In other words, they're out of order. So in other words, you got to move that out of the way and keep on doing what you're doing, ministry. Mm-hmm. Are he that exhorted on exhortation? Let's see what that word means. That means to call near, invoke, to call to one side, call for, to address, or to speak to. Alright, so let him that exhorteth on exhortation, in other words, speak to a person and give them a little boost. You know, that's the way we do in ministry. You know, you say, well, you're bride. This is what you're bride, and God, this is what God, that's exhortation. You're telling the person, you're bride, if you're bride, what are they doing? They're going back to the will and telling you what you got.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, to be the bride of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing on the face of the earth.
Amen.
There's nothing, I said on the earth, there's no greater than being the bride of Jesus Christ. Right? But now that we're telling you what God said. I'm not telling you that you're the greatest because I said you're the greatest. I'm just reading the will.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is telling you, the executor of the will is telling you what the will says about what? About you, because you've come under this umbrella of being the bride.
Yes.
Right? So we do exhort. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And see how you can, and you know what? As I read that, several individuals come to my mind. So see, they've used that gift in my life to help me. So you should read the same thing and look back to your life and see and pull a name out. I think of Robert Tatum. Now, some of you didn't know Brother Tatum. I did in my younger life all the way up. But right there, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, he did it with simplicity. He exhorted with simplicity. He was a simple man. And he that, you know what though? That part of him was right here. So you got to see that part of you for whatever it is. Maybe not that one. Okay? I have to learn to be an exhortationist, because if not, I'm going to be the one that cuts your head off.
No. Really?
I get it honest.
Really?
And see, this is a sticky one here. Ruleth with diligence. I asked Dad one time, I said, how do you put up with some of them people in that church? Now, this has been 20 years ago, not now. Because I see now why he puts up with them. But back then, I didn't. He said, give them time. Most patient man on the face of the earth. That man's got patience, love, mercy. Well, what that diligence is patience.
Yeah.
Diligence is patience. You just stand there.
Right.
And you let the people do what they do, and then
that's right.
You rule with diligence. Let's see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Earnestness. That's what I like. With haste. Earnestness. I like that right there. Earnestness. Earnestness in accomplishing, promoting, or striving after anything. Interest oneself most earnestly. In other words, he has diligence with us, or patience with us.
Yes.
He earnestly contends for the faith that one's delivered to the saints. So he earnestly contends with who? Us.
That's
right. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. Let's see what that word says, just to make sure. Hypocrisy. Love without being a hypocrite. Alright. So you love without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. In other words, hang on to what is good. Cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. That's coming right here. The statue of perfect man. Remember, that's the last one before the capstone, so that must be the roughest one. Real narrow right here. We get up here. That's okay. Patience is pretty rough. Godliness and brother kindness is right there at the headstone. All right. In honor, preferring one another. Brother Ram always tells you, and many men you've met that have been real successful in business and stuff. Now, there are the arrogant ones. But you see the ones that are just good people, they actually ask you how you're doing, ask you how your family is, ask you how everything's going with you, instead of I, me, I did this, I did that. Okay, same way in Christianity. It's beautiful to listen, like Daddy always says, it's beautiful to listen to your testimony. You know, listen to what God's done for you. Not slothful in business, and that's in any business, that's business. Christian business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation. In other words, have patience when everything's going haywire. Persevering. I read you the scripture the other day that in Matthew, where Brother Claude really enjoys, and I'm beginning to really like it myself. Those who endure to the end shall be saved.
Right.
Those who endure to the end shall be saved, because there's a lot of people in this way that's going to fall off.
Right.
There's a lot of people, but if you endure to the end, I want to use a Dave Ramsey quote, because Dave Ramsey says you're getting rid of your debt. It's not a microwave, it's a crock pot. So the same thing in Christianity. The Christianity is not a microwave. You see these people that come in like a microwave. They go out like one.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
But they come in like a crock pot. You know what a crock pot does? For those of you that don't know what a crock pot does.
Slow cooker.
Men.
Slow cooker.
Slow cooker. You put it on and you wait all day. But boy, at the end, it's the best roast and potatoes. Mama fix them.
That's
roasting potatoes. Jim, roasting. A lot of carrots. Got a lot of carrots. But that's what it is in Christianity. It's not a microwave. It's a crock pot mentality. You got to endure to the end. You got to sit there. And you know what? You may be hungry, but it may take 12 hours for that to cook. But boy, at the end, it's good stuff. Rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. That's right. You interpret that, pray without ceasing. All right? And you know what? You do that unconsciously.
Right.
As a Christian, you do that unconsciously. You don't say, now we do have our prayer time. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I don't have a prayer time where I go in and I pray for 30 minutes. No. I pray for a little while, and then I'll sit down on my tablet and I'll read. I went back to Ezekiel, and now I'm going back to Jeremiah. To me, that's my prayer time. Because you know what? Just like that right there that I saw, I can see people in the Bible. Not Jeremiah and Ezekiel, y'all and us. Yeah. People that have influenced me and done bad things or good things. You can read the Bible and say, man, that's just like so-and-so. See, to me, that puts the Bible real to me. Instead of like Daddy, you know, like Daddy's been saying, you know, it's not that letter or that Bible that you're looking at. It's the written epistle.
Amen.
Known and read of all men. So somebody's life, somebody in your life, you've read their life. And like I said, it's not some of it's a short story and some of it's a War and Peace version. You know, it's some of it's a little short, some of it takes a long time. But still, continuing instant in prayer. Because even driving down the road, this is one of my pet peeves. I hate to see people broke down on the side of the road. Now, it may not bother you one bit, but I just can't. Inside me, something works. And I don't stop all the time. I don't stop probably maybe 1 out of 500. But as I pass, I go, Lord, just send somebody. Because I couldn't help them. I ain't got a jumper cable. I know what a key is, and I know where to stick it in the car. And that's about it. Thank God for mechanics, you know.
Right,
man? Right? Because I just probably mess it up if I stop. But I always pray, I say, Lord, send them a wrecker or send them somebody that knows what they're doing so they can get on the road. I do it to everybody. I don't think I've ever missed anybody. I may have, but even going down the road, and I'd be sitting there driving and talking to y'all or thinking about something else. So, does that distract you?
It's just a little white spider. There he is. Yeah.
Everybody see that?
Yeah.
Oh, joy.
Joy
said,
kill him. No. Put him down.
If I put him on that table, I'm going to smash him.
No.
Yeah. Why not? Mama, I'm going to smash his spider. That's what Mama said. Because you know what? It makes spider webs, and my mama hates spider webs.
Well, why do you have to put something
there? Anyway.
I love
was that your cousin or something?
It was God's creation.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring like a million fleas in your house and let them out.
They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Out of his position.
No.
Tom.
No. You know what? It's all right. It's okay.
Tom won't let her kill nothing. He takes it outside.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Let's get back to what we're doing here.
Yeah.
Continuing instantly in prayer. So that's what I mean about if you're driving down the road, even if somebody comes to your mind, what do you do? You say, Lord, bless that person. Lord, be with that person. If someone comes to your mind, well, that's continuing in prayer. Because I'll promise you, the truck driver that's on channel 19 on the CB, is it 9 or 19, whatever. I mean, they're cussing, talking about their girlfriends and about what they're going to do to their, you know, you understand what I'm saying? They ain't continually in prayer.
Right.
But you as a Christian, you're aware of your surroundings and you're continually in prayer. Some of you were praying I didn't kill that spider, but it didn't work. Flies. My daddy kills millions of flies, and he wished all of them were dead, so a little spider ain't going to hurt me. But he's dead.
You'll have to worry
about yourself. Oh, well, I'm not worried about that either. Rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Well, let me give you a point on that. Brother Brown's, the angel said everything you loved will be there. I don't love spiders. Daddy don't love flies. So they may be there for somebody else. You may see them. They look like somebody looks like Pigpen with the flies going around, you know, going around the head. But not when Brother Dale walks up. You ain't going to see a fly nowhere. Because that's not his desire. He didn't love them. Because Brother Brown's horse was there because he loved that. Brother Brown's dog was there. Now, that's fine. That's fine. But now all this other nonsense is just nonsense. Right? Every bug you ever kill is not going to be there. That's just nonsense. That's not having a lot of wisdom. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Now that's us. That's us in our life. That's us in our environment.
Lost us.
Lost y'all? Okay. Wait, you know what? That's okay. Patient in tribulation. No, I'm fine. I was going to say something, but I'm not. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given the hospitality. Now, June loves to be hospitable, and I love, but we're not going to be hospitable to the bugs. Bless them with persecute you.
Unless they're bees.
Huh?
Unless they're bees.
Yeah.
And you know what? I squash the bees all the time. You just can't help it. When there's 60,000 of them in a box, you just can't help squashing the bee. But I don't think that bee's going to buzz up me at the future home and go, you kill me while I was on earth. No. Everything will be in harmony over there. Don't worry. I'm not going to worry about it. You just worry about getting that. Right? And I'm not going to worry about the rest of it. You can, whatever. You know what? Go create your own world and go live with all the bugs. But I'm not, I mean, short visit, but not very long. And if you got flies there, Brother Dale will never see you again. You're never going to be seen. I mean, have you ever seen Brother Dale chase a fly? It's like, I mean, he's on a mission. Mama knows that he's got two fly swatters. And I'm telling this online, but I mean, he's got two and he's going, I heard it. I mean, he can't hear a train. But he said, you hear that? You know, I'm going to talk to Moses about creating that.
He did say that.
Yes, he did say that several times. Well, I think the flies were already there. He was just a little ill at Moses for making so many of them. But,
they could not have been because they
could have
the flies.
Yeah, created flies. But you know, it's a necessity that we have. You know, you've got germs on you that are good germs that you need.
Right.
You read about that sometimes. It'll gross you out how many bugs you got already on you.
In you.
That eat your flesh and eat this and takes care of that. And yeah. Think. But that's just being in harmony with nature. Alright? Let's talk about humans because listen, we have a soul. God created us to worship Him. Now in us being the worship part we are, all the creation behind us worships God too. So we are connected to nature and to the creation. But because we fail, they fail. So you see the dead animals and stuff laying on the side of the road and all that stuff. And you know what? I hate that. I do. I don't like to. You know, I had a friend of mine one time. He'd run off the road to hit a squirrel. That's just being mad. That's just being mean. I try my best to swerve and miss them. Now, I'm not going to run off the road and kill myself and who's riding with me, but I'm going to try to avoid it at all costs. So that's the difference. Like Brother Ram said, he goes hunting. He's killed thousands of animals. But he couldn't stand them guys that just went up there and slaughtered them. Yeah. Okay, so there's a difference. You know what it is? The only difference is the psyche or that mentality of that person.
Yeah.
What's in that person? Okay. Bless them. All right. Give them the hospitality. And we should. We should be the most hospitable people on the face of this earth. We should be the most accommodating people on the face of the earth. All right. Bless them which persecute you. Do you? Bless them, Lord, for running out in front of me and cutting me off. No, that's usually not what we do.
No.
Because what Jesus say? He said it's real easy. In other words, it's easy to bless somebody that blesses you.
Yeah.
He said it's real hard to bless the people that curse you.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what brotherly kindness is.
Right.
Because you could, if you couldn't tell who Brother Brown's friends or foe were, he was blessing the ones that persecuted him. And him being a prophet, knew they didn't like him.
Right.
Through the discernment. He knew spiritually they didn't like him. But he did not let that bother him. Now, humanly, I bet it did. Because remember, he says, I'm a neurotic and I have to go get along. Well, you know why? He had a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But he overcame those things because he had a job. One job to do. We all need to find out our job. What our job is, and let's all do it. All right?
Yes.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. And weep with them that weep. In other words, brotherly kindness, being together. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things. Let's see what that means. Do not set your mind on high things. But condescend to men of low estate. That's what I was talking about, somebody that's a really successful person. They have a... if they're really a Christian and a successful person, they... When they walk into a room, it's not like I'm 6 feet taller than everybody else. You know, I'm on this pedestal and I walk around. No. Be not wise in your own conceit, in your own estimation. Okay? Don't think yourself better. And you know what? It's hard to do.
Yes.
Let's be honest. It's hard to do that. It's hard to see somebody that's doing wrong or doing you wrong and knowing that they're not born again and you're standing here, a child of God, born again, have eternal life in your soul. You're a liar. Look at me in the face. You're a liar. If you sometimes don't think, that person's just not as good as me. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. It just in a little small, even if it happens in your humanity just for a second. Because I do the same thing. But you know what you do? You cast down that imagination.
Right.
And you say, God, if it hadn't have been for you,
right,
saving me. That's the only difference between me and a prostitute is I'm saved and she's not. That's the only difference. Not that I'm up here and she's down here. No. Recompense no man evil for evil. Now you see how the Bible says, now look, in the Old Testament, it was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, arm for an arm, life for a life. Because remember, if a man kills your brother, you kill him. That's why they made defense cities where those people could run into the city and not be killed until they were tried. But if you were caught outside the city, you could kill them and be justified under the law. But the law says thou shalt not kill. But the law says you can kill that person if he kills your brother. Right? So you see, you have to, you come up here and you do not recompense evil for evil. Now, how many times have we said, not now, but in our old life, that I'm going to get back at that person for whatever you want to say it, right? Anything. Family member, friend, whatever. You know, they wrong you and they say, I'll get back at that person. Because that's the whole world. That's what this world made up of. I'm going to get back at that person because you did this to me. I'm going to do this to you. You don't do that when you're a Christian. You try. That's why you don't take your brother to court. You don't take your brother to law. It's your brother. You're supposed to work those things. Actually, if you have a partner, business partner, or anything, it's church member, it needs to be settled in a church. See, that's where we got all the way from that. Now everybody says, no, I'll just hire a lawyer and sue your pants off. No. No, you need to handle it right here. I read that long, several months ago when we were in the Statute of Perfect Man. We're talking about taking a brother to court. The Bible says don't take a brother to court. Take him before the elders of the church and judge the situation. Because the Bible says, Paul says, how can you not judge this if you're going to judge angels and judge the whole world? If you can't judge among yourself. Right? So that's why but the easiest way, is to go, well, I'll hire a lawyer and let him handle it. Because it's kind of not face to face. You come in here, it's the pastor and a couple of deacons and the two guys or two girls, whatever, and you're face to face. But now, we're not supposed to do that. Let me read this and then we'll go. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, Look at Paul. He's not making this a cut and dry thing. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. We can't always do that. Because they won't let you.
That's
right. Right? They won't let you. It's not you. But as long as you say it's for them, then that's their problem, not yours. All right, let's go. All right, let me get around here. Before we go. Back up. Kind of a life lesson today. Thank you, Brother Paul.